Hi everyone, welcome to Global Voice. My name is Emily.
My name is Jeff.
And today we are reading an article called The Sound of Australia. So if you think of Australia and its sounds, maybe you're thinking about the sounds of ocean waves, since Australia is known for its beaches, or maybe you're thinking about the large number of insects that reside in Australia and, of course, make sounds. But today's article, we will be talking about the didgeridoo. So the didgeridoo is an icon of Aboriginal culture in Australia. And it's this ancient wind instrument that was developed by Aboriginal people in northern Australia. So now it's used all over the world, of course, that's why we know about it, but it is most strongly associated with Indigenous Australian music. So you may think that the name is kind of an interesting sounding name and that perhaps it comes from an Aboriginal language, because, you know, it's definitely not English. However, it doesn't actually come from one of their languages. So it's actually an onomatopoeic word that comes from the European colonizers of Australia. So onomatopoeic words are ones that are phonetically similar to, they imitate, resemble, or suggest the sound that the word describes. So an example of that would be how a cat's meow sounds like the sound the cat makes, or how the sound we use to describe the movement of the clock, ticking, tick-tock, sounds like the sound that a clock makes. And so, of course, all cultures and languages have different types of onomatopoeia. And in this case, the people, the European colonizers who came to Australia, they heard the didgeridoo and they basically made up this word that brings to mind the sound, these low droning sounds that the didgeridoo makes. So droning just means this continuous low humming sound. So didgeridoo kind of sounds like the sound that the instrument makes. And so, in Australia, there are dozens of different names that are given to it by the Aboriginal people, but commonly, the two most common ones are the yidaki and the mako. But in this article, we will just be referring to it as the didgeridoo, as that is what it's most commonly known as in the West. So it's been claimed that it's over 40,000 years old, but there isn't actually any physical archaeological evidence to verify this claim. And so many northern Australian Aboriginal groups have lots of didgeridoo stories in their history. And so there's this cultural and religious worldview called the Dreaming. And so didgeridoo stories actually show up in this worldview. So to kind of describe what the Dreaming is, the West doesn't really have anything similar to it. It's very specific to different Aboriginal groups in Australia, but it's used to describe, to represent their concepts of this thing called the Everywhen, which is this land, which is the time when land was inhabited by their ancestors or ancestral figures, who were often these types of heroes or had supernatural abilities. However, these figures were different from gods because they didn't control the human material world and they weren't worshipped. They were only, you know, revered, thought of well. And so this concept of the Dreaming, dream time, has become fairly adopted beyond this original context in Australia, and now it's part of a lot of global popular culture. There's different books and stuff that use this kind of concept. And so the Dreaming explains the origins of the universe and the workings of nature and humanity. And so this is where we are seeing some depictions of the didgeridoo, because there are artistic renderings of the instrument on rock art in the region that go back to around 1500 or so years ago. And so that's the latest we can officially date the age of the didgeridoo, though of course it's quite possible that it goes back a lot further than that. So if you haven't seen a didgeridoo before, either in person or perhaps a photo or a video of them, they're pretty distinctive looking. So they're these long cylindrical conical things that can be anywhere from 1 to 3 meters long, so they can be pretty long, and the longer it is, the lower its pitch, so the lower the sound is. And so it's a wind instrument, like we said, and it's similar in form to a straight trumpet, but the didgeridoo, as we will read about, is traditionally made out of wood. So traditionally, they're made from eucalyptus trees that were hollowed out by termites. So kind of an interesting process of how they were made. And so the traditional makers of didgeridoos, they tried to find trees that were still alive that were already hollowed out by termites. And so they did this by using their knowledge of the landscape as well as the activity patterns of termites. And so once they found a tree, they would cut it down, clean it out, and then strip the bark, trim the ends, and shape the outside. And so this is basically the finished instrument. And then for the mouthpiece, they would typically add beeswax around it to, you know, create a place where somebody can comfortably blow the instrument. And so that's how they were traditionally made, but nowadays in modern times there are also non-traditional ones that can be made from other hardwoods or glass, metal, even things like agave, clay, hemp. Lots of different options for these non-traditional didgeridoos. And so they can be painted by the person who makes them or by an artist. And they can either use traditional or modern paints. So that's one option for their decorations, while others just keep this natural wooden look that doesn't have any decoration or maybe just has some minimal decorations. So in the next half, we'll also talk about the techniques that people use for playing it, when it is used, and some of the surprising health benefits to playing it. So have you heard or seen a didgeridoo in person or on CDs or anything?
Definitely heard them and seen them, maybe not in person. I've never been to Australia, but there's so many movies about Australia or documentaries about Australia, and it seems like the didgeridoo is always in there somewhere. So I am very familiar with the kind of sound that it makes. It's a very unusual sound, very deep and kind of, I don't know, I never heard anybody use it to like play a song or something.
Yeah, it's kind of more, I don't know, ritualistic.
Right, it's just the noise. It's not like, you're not going to like record a symphony or something.
Yeah, I think it's used like in the Western context and a lot of like new wave music, right?
Oh,
new
yeah,
wave
sure.
CDs.
Yeah.
You know, people listen to things like the didgeridoo, maybe to relax, or they listen to whale noises, that sort of thing, because it is almost this natural sounding music, just because it's very, very specific, very intense. I think if somebody hears it, it's pretty hard to forget what it hears like or what it sounds like, because there really isn't many other instruments that sound like it, which is pretty cool. I feel like I have perhaps seen or heard them in person. Like where I'm from, every spring there's a kind of culture festival that has like lots of different music from around the world. And so I think at some point or another in my childhood, I probably stumbled across a didgeridoo player, perhaps some type of new wave hippie musician who learned to play the didgeridoo, since that kind of seems to be who other than Aboriginal people who learns how to play it, since it's kind of a unique instrument. So let's take a look at the first half of the article, The Sounds of Australia.